Welcome, amigos, to episode 56 of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast available exclusively via the Nats GM Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com and the Baron of All Baseball Podcasts. This week's episode is sponsored by my good friends at Nova Pro Wrestling, at VA Wrestling on Twitter. They have a big show coming up on Sunday, January 31st in Springfield, Virginia. I will be at that wrestling card, and they've got a great card coming up. So I hope you come out and join us as well. I hope you're there. Again, it's Nova Pro Wrestling, and you can find them online at novaprowrestling.tumblr.com. Also, before we start talking baseball, two more things. We are seeking a primary sponsor or sponsors for the Nats GM show. So if you are interested in sponsoring this podcast, please go to natsgm.com for further details. Also, one last thing, if I could. If you could spare a moment, please go to iTunes and rate and review this podcast, hopefully favorably if you're going to do it, as this helps us attract a larger audience for the podcast. Now, let's get to talking some baseball, all right?
This is Tucker Blair of Baseball Prospectus, and you are listening to the Nats GM Show.
Now, I am proud to be joined by this week's guest, a 2015 member of the Frederick Keys and current Baltimore Orioles minor league prospect, Jeff Kemp. Jeff, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Ryan, thanks for having me.
I'm very, very thankful. First and foremost, I want to start with just thanking you at the top of the show for coming on. I've gotten to watch your career a whole bunch the last couple of years while you were in Aberdeen and Delmarva, and then certainly this year in Frederick. So, It's a real treat to talk to you. I thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on and share a couple stories with you.
That would be great. Local guy, I think that's where I kind of want to start. You were born and raised in Bowie, if I have that right.
Correct, yeah. Born and raised, still there.
So I'm assuming you grew up an Orioles fan?
I did. I was also a big Derek Jeter fan, but Orioles, I mean, if I was an Orioles fan, I think my family might disown me.
So did you grow up going to, I guess it would have been Camden Yards for you. You're a few years younger than I am.
Yeah, the rest of my family, my dad and his family, they grew up going to Memorial, but yeah, Camden Yards is all I know.
Who were your favorites growing up? Who were some of your Orioles guys?
I mean, there's so many of them. Bordick.
Oh, yeah.
Cal, Melvin Mora, Tejada. A lot of the infielders.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that because...
Brian Roberts.
Is that because you were an infielder, or just you were attracted to their style of game?
I think mostly because I was an infielder, but I mean, all those guys played the game the right way, went about their business. They were all fun to watch.
Have you gotten a chance to meet any of those guys?
I have not, no.
Oh, that's a bummer. I was hoping maybe with the Orioles connection somehow.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean... Career still young, so I'm sure I'll have a chance, hopefully, to meet a few of those guys.
Now, did you ever think about switching to the Nationals when they came to town, I guess, in 05, or did you strictly stay with the Orioles?
I mean, I like what they do over there in D.C. I can't say I don't dislike them. Can't be a fan, but no, I think they're heading in the right direction. They have a beautiful stadium, but no, I didn't switch over.
You ever head down to any games at Nats Park?
I did go to a few when I was in high school. We would get some, a few of my friends in high school, they would get some free tickets through their parents' company, and we'd head down to D.C. and catch a game.
Yeah, it's not quite the same experience as Camden Yards, but Nats Park's not too shabby.
No, it's pretty nice, yeah, but doesn't really compare to Camden, I don't think.
not even close. So you started your college, I mean, you went to Archbishop Spalding, if I have it correct, and then you went to Radford, which is... you know, a great baseball program. How did you end up kind of finding your way to Radford?
It was a long story, but I was in contact with Coach Rakuya, who's the current coach still at Radford. He was the hitting coach at Alabama when we started our relationship, and he was kind of going through the recruiting process with me there. And then he was a Radford alumni. So when they were searching for a coach, they asked for his help. And after a couple weeks, him helping out, they turned to him and asked him to be the coach. And he asked, he had a lot of demands because at the time, Radford wasn't a fully funded school. Our facilities were pretty bad. So he had demands to be fully funded, to get new facilities within the next 5 years. And every demand that he asked for, they met, offered him the job. And I was in his first recruiting class.
Wow. I love the old, I recommend myself.
Well, he really didn't. They kind of approached him.
But it is amazing what he's done with Radford in the last, 15 or 20 years. I mean, goodness, we saw, obviously your career, we've seen what Eddie Butler come out of there and a lot of successful players and teams the last, 10, 12 years or so.
Yeah, it's been, last year they were top 25, set the school record for wins by, I think, over 10.
Just incredible what he's done down there. After your freshman year, I know that you had shoulder surgery on both of your shoulders. What was I don't even know how to word this, but what was that like, and where did that put you mentally and physically and everything else?
Well, the reason that I got the surgeries that summer, my right shoulder I had hurt in high school, actually, and I probably needed the surgery 2 or 3 years prior to when I got it, but going through the recruiting process, I couldn't afford really to sit out for a year. So I waited on that one. It hurt, but I could still throw. And then my last series in college, my freshman year, I dove and tore my left one, popped out of place when I dove.
Ow.
And needed surgery on that one too. So I couldn't really swing at that point. So I figured might as well get them both done at the same time. Not at the same time. They were about a month and a half apart. But yeah, that summer, it was a long summer.
I was going to say, what is it like with having both your shoulders messed up? I mean, I'm assuming you can't brush your teeth, comb your hair.
Yeah, so
really,
right after the surgery, they put you in a sling for 4 weeks, and you don't do a whole lot. You do some rehab. They work on your range of motion and stuff. But a week out of getting my right one taken off, I had surgery on my left arm and had to do the same thing.
Oh, goodness. Now, were there ever any thoughts that you weren't going to continue to play baseball? Was there ever that consideration?
No, not even. Never even crossed my mind.
That's good. So then I guess you redshirted your next season to fully recuperate and get right?
I did. I actually tried to play that season. I was on pace coming back, was feeling good, and we had a really tough winter that year. And we actually had to drive down to Wake Forest just to practice because there was so much snow in our field.
Wow.
And unfortunately, they practiced first, so we had to practice in February at about 8 o'clock at night, and it was cold. It was actually – I think it was sleeting, actually. And
probably not the best thing for recovering shoulders either.
No, and like I said, I was feeling fine. But then I didn't make any throws for 2 or 3 innings, and I got to play in the hole. I was playing second base kind of to alleviate me throwing from shortstop, which is the position I played. But I got a ball in the hole, and just my natural reaction, I caught it, jumped up, tried to throw it as hard as I could, and I didn't have the arm strength then, and kind of had a minor setback and missed the first weekend. And then I started playing some first base to kind of ease my way back into it. And I had another play, kind of the same thing. Ball hit down the first baseline in foul territory. I catch it. The guy from third deeks like he's going to go home, and I just chuck it home. And like I said, my arm wasn't ready for that. But it was just the natural reaction of playing the game. And at that point, I was doing more harm than good, so I looked at my coach and said, hey, sorry, I tried to stick it out for you, but I don't think it's going to be in my best interest to keep going this year. So he agreed, and he was pretty understanding about the whole thing.
Well, I guess it was the best thing for you in the long run.
Yeah, I was only going to do more bad than anything.
So I guess
it wouldn't have been beneficial for me.
So So I guess you, I think I saw you played about six games that season, and then you sat down and redshirted?
Yep.
So then that's got to be tough for you to sit out baseball for a year. I mean, this is something you've played, I'm assuming, every day of your life for the most part for 19, 20 years.
Yeah, it was a challenge. More so because I felt like I was, because halfway through the season I was ready to go. I was 100%, but I had already decided. I felt worse for my players, my teammates, because we had a chance to be very, very good that year.
So what do you do with that time? Do you start hitting off the tee? Do you work on your skills? I mean, what can you do kind of at that point to keep yourself, you know, improving and sharp?
That was the thing, is I was full bore, infield, outfield, take BP, do everything. And then I would look great doing that, and the game would come, and I just couldn't play.
How'd you manage that? I mean, that's got to be so tough.
I'm trying to be the best leader on the team I could, be a very vocal guy, because I was one of the captains that year, and just sat back and try to learn as much as I could. I would sit next to my coach and ask questions and just try to get better, even though I couldn't play.
Well, and it certainly worked out for you, because you came back the next season and played very, very well. And if I have the timeline right, I think you got drafted the next season as well, maybe two seasons.
Two seasons after,
by the Anaheim Angels in the 31st round. Kind of take me through a little bit what that day was like and what that experience was like.
So that day, I received the calls. I mean, I think I talked to 8 to 10 different teams, and they were just trying to get a feel for kind of the monetary value that I would want. And so I kind of went through that whole process, and then I watched all those teams. Shortstop, shortstop, shortstop. And I was like, well, I might have asked for too much money. But
and I guess you still had a little leverage, because you could go back because of the red shirt. You could go back for another season.
Exactly. So the Angels, when they drafted me, I thought we had an agreement. And just going through that and thinking about it and thinking about how important my degree would be, for me it was just a better decision to go back and graduate, use my scholarship money, and go back, get my degree, and give it another try the next year.
That's interesting, because so often we hear the opposite story of, well, it was better off for me to go to play baseball. It's nice to hear, you know, that it was more of a priority, so to speak, to get your degree.
Yeah, I mean, I've always – my brother was kind of in the same situation. He actually – if you look at his timeline, it's pretty identical to mine. Had a good freshman year, surgery sophomore year, drafted his fourth year, went back to school, graduated, signed after that. So it's kind of weird to look at our timelines. They're pretty similar.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hopefully baseball doesn't end for another 10 years, but there's going to be a day where it ends. And to have that education, it's going to be a big step up for me.
So you came back the next season and once again – you know, really was, I'm assuming, probably the leader of the team as a fifth-year senior starting in the infield, and you put up great numbers. What was that season like?
That season, I think I had the most fun in my entire – that I have had in college the 4 years prior to. It was a blast. We had a very, very young team. I think we had 8 or 9 freshmen that came in, 4 of which played. And just to be the older guy to kind of help these kids develop and learn the game, I felt like I was a teacher more than a player, but it was a lot of fun.
That's a great story, which leads into then at the end of the year, you get drafted by the hometown Orioles. You got to please go into what that was like. I mean, that's got to be, you know, kind of a dream scenario.
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, being able to get drafted by the Orioles, like you said, it's a dream come true. You're so close to home. But then that day, I hadn't really had much communication with them throughout the season. There's a lot of teams that send you questionnaires, and you talk to scouts here and there. I did receive a questionnaire from them, but wasn't a team that was on my list at all. Like, wasn't even on my radar really. And the third day of the draft, I spoke with the scout that drafted me, and he was kind of like, "Yeah, just keep your eye out. We're looking at you. Think you might go here." And then I got bumped back a little bit, but at the end of the day, I got the call. I was actually helping a buddy of mine move. I think I had a couch in my hand at the time. It was late in the day, and I wasn't going to say I was pessimistic that I wasn't going to get drafted, but it was getting later in the day, and you can only stare at a computer screen for so long.
Yeah, that gentleman's voice does get a little old after a while, sure.
Yeah. I was just trying to waste some time. My friend from high school needed some help, so I was helping him out. I had a couch in my hand, got the call, and...
Was the call from Chris Gayle?
It was, yes.
Another acquaintance, just random story. Great guy. Wonderful guy. Very shrewd talent evaluator. Shout out to Chris, who I'm guessing is probably not listening to this. So what were the negotiations like? You get the call, and where do you go from there?
Basically, do you want to play? I said, yes, and here's $2,500. I said, all right, sign me up.
So literally, the next thing you know, you find yourself in Aberdeen, which is, what, an hour up the road from Bowie?
Yeah. With no traffic, I think I made the trip in 45 minutes.
Did you live at home, quote-unquote, while you were playing there?
I tried for about 3 weeks, and then I think one day I was heading to the field, and there was a bad accident on 95, and that hour turned into about 3.5. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
I was late for BP, and after that I decided that I probably should find a host family, which I did, and live with one of the guys on the team. So
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I wanted to dive into a little bit if I could. I think that's something that I certainly know I don't know much about, and I don't think my audience does either, of just what it's like living with the host family, how that works, and what that experience is like.
Well, I've been very fortunate. Wherever I've been, I've had friends and family that I've been very, very lucky. I've known, besides from my first year in Aberdeen, where it was kind of like last minute, I need to do this because I can't sit in traffic and miss BP anymore. Besides that, I've lived with family, friends, guys that I've played with in the past, their families, and they basically bring you in like a second kid or a third kid, and for me, it was a very easy transition. But I know a lot of guys, it's tough. They go into the season not knowing where they're going to live. Basically, we get done spring training, and you find out where you're going to go. They give you a small list of potential host families with a number and rules of the house. You kind of have to take it upon yourself to call them and go through the interview process, basically, and you're moving into somebody's house that you don't even know. And you're there all season, so for 5 months you're their roommates, I guess. So I mean, a lot of the guys, they do build relationships with these people, and at the end of the day, I mean, I know a lot of guys that they're still in contact with the people they live with. So they've had great experiences too.
Now, what was it like playing at Delmarva in 2014? I think so many people in my audience are probably thinking, oh, you get to play baseball at the beach. It's got to be great. But what is playing at Delmarva really like?
A lot of bus rides. That league, you are on a bus. I think you're on a bus longer than you're playing. It's a tough travel league. I mean, we go from Lakewood, New Jersey to Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, I was going to say the shortest bus ride is either probably Lakewood or Hagerstown. Those are not short bus rides.
Hagerstown, Lakewood, they weren't bad trips, but I think if I can recall, I think our first day off, I think we had started the season with 30 games straight.
Oh.
And our first day off was a 16-hour bus ride.
Just what Georgia. You want, right? Just what you yeah. want.
Nice day to relax and do nothing, let your body heal. No, it was a 16-hour bus ride.
Yeah, perfect. Sitting in a bus chair for 16 hours, or a bus seat for 16 hours when you've been playing for 30 days in a row. That's a good way. So then I want to ask you, what was last season like in Frederick? I got to see you a lot, play a lot of games there. What's kind of the difference playing? Obviously, you're at a higher level. You're facing better competition. But what was Frederick like compared to Delmarva?
I love my time in Frederick. Just, I think it's a different... It's a little bit bigger of a city. You're closer to Baltimore, obviously. I think the people, the fans realize you are closer to making it to Baltimore as well. So we got a little bit more support. The front office was great. Not saying that Delmarva's front office wasn't great, because they were great as well. But no, I had a great time. We had a great coaching staff, great guys on the team. And for the first part of the season, we were good. I mean, we were competing for a playoff spot, so it's always fun.
How is that park to play in? Because as a fan, I think that's probably my favorite park in the minor leagues.
I love it. Grounds crew, for me personally, I think about the field. I think about the infield. If we have a good infield, I'm good to go.
Right. I could see that. That makes sense.
And our grounds crew, I mean, they work their tails off to get that field into great shape. And I think he won groundskeeper of the year in the league. So
talk about an underappreciated role in minor league baseball, taking care of the field. Absolutely.
That was huge. I mean, he was very vocal with us. He would ask us how it was, and it would kind of be feedback back and forth. And he was definitely dedicated to what he was doing, and it showed. I mean, we had a great surface.
So now you're trending towards, if everything works out right, you should be playing in Double A this season for Bowie in literally your backyard. What is you've got to be excited as can be for that.
Wow, it's going to be. I haven't played there since I was, I think, 13. We had like a tournament there. But no, I'm going to the games growing up. I think I have a picture. I was 10 years old, and Ryan Miner, who's my manager in Delmarva, we ran out on the field, and I think I come up to about his kneecap.
He is about 6'7", yeah.
Yeah. But I have a picture. I was 8 or 9 years old standing next to him for the national anthem.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Are you going to have they already started talking about Kemp's Corner or Kemp's Crew for 2016?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I'm throwing it out there. I'm copywriting the name, so to speak, if they do it, so.
Yeah, you can start it. Feel free. I mean, I know you're close by, too.
So. Yeah, I'll be at games for sure. I'll be wearing the T-shirt. So, if I can go off on a little tangent now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about giving a little insight into what it's like to be a minor leaguer during the off season. I know we're right smack dab in the middle of your off season now. I think, you know, so many of us watch you play from April to September, we forget that you guys, you know, have to live like we do from September to April. What do you do in your off season?
For me, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be playing baseball, which is unbelievable. I love it. But I wasn't fortunate enough to be blessed with a big signing bonus. So for me, I got to make money. And my dad has a construction company. So I think this year I took a week off after the season just to kind of relax and let the body catch up. And then for me, it's 40-hour weeks with my dad, and then gym at night, try to keep working out. It's tough, I mean, but you have to make the money, because right now I focus strictly on training and getting my body ready, so I stopped working completely. So I use that time to save up some money in order to kind of come back and take off the time now to where I can focus strictly on baseball.
Now, is the construction good for your body, or is it not good? I would think some of it, you know, the lifting and that would be a positive, but then on the other hand, you're beating yourself up too while you're training.
Yeah, my dad kind of takes it easy on me. He's like, yeah, if that's going to hurt your shoulder, I don't want you doing it, because he understands. And
he sees the eye on the prize too.
Yeah. He understands I'm doing it to just to make some money. He knows baseball is the number one. But it's also very cool to work with my dad every day. He has a very small crew, and I know he enjoys me being there, and I enjoy working with him, so that's it's a pretty cool thing.
And that is a nice, you know, option, so to speak. I'm sure a lot of the guys are really struggling to find work in the off season for just a few months.
It's tough because, I mean, people don't want to hire guys for 3 months. I mean, I know a few of my teammates, they're in warehouse jobs, stacking shelves and substitute teaching. Some guys do baseball lessons, which is nice, but yeah, it's the grind never stops, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice reminder for all of us as fans, is just, you know, how tough it is. It's certainly not glitz and glamour until you get to the majors, and even if it is then. So,
yeah, it's at least when you get there, you have a little bit of financial freedom to where you can focus more on just your craft.
Right. I'm sure they're not stacking – too many of them aren't stacking boxes in the offseason. So.
No.
So, Jeff, before I let you go, I want to do a little game of rapid fire. I got a bunch of little questions that I want to ask you and just get your kind of gut reaction off the top of your head.
Okay.
All right. First question, best park to hit in?
Frederick.
Okay. Best road, clubhouse, and town?
Winston-Salem.
Okay. Very cool. Why Winston-Salem? The town was fun, Wake Forest. What's going on in Winston-Salem?
It's just a cool little town. I mean, very small downtown. It's like a little micro city. Hmm. I mean, being from D.C. and Baltimore, seeing the big cities, it's just a little bit scaled down. And it's got a lot of cool little neat shops and good places to eat. Hmm. And the park is just unbelievable.
I got to make that trip then. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice.
Most talented teammate beside yourself, the most talented teammate you've played with?
Cisco. Hmm. Chance.
Okay. Guy can hit for days, man. That's a pure swing.
He's unbelievable.
Kind of a similar question, but most talented opponent you've played against?
Ooh. Giolito with you guys.
Mm, yeah, that curveball's nasty.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
okay, next question. Strangest fan experience besides myself?
See, I don't really look at it like that. If the fans weren't there, we wouldn't be playing. So I try to take every fan the same. And I mean, we're there to put on a show for you guys.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Good answer. Worst bus ride or travel experience for baseball?
Spending 16 hours on a bus on your day off.
Yeah, that would be the worst. Yeah,
that was pretty bad.
Where was that drive from, to and from?
We were home at the time, and I think we woke up, got up. The bus left at 8, and we went to, I believe we went to Savannah.
Oh my gosh. Mm. That's a long drive.
A lot of card games on that bus ride.
DVDs and everything, every other way to kill time.
Oh, everything.
And my final question for you, any baseball superstitions or rituals?
Play hard and have fun.
All right. Can't beat that motto.
Nope.
So, Jeff, I can't keep you any longer. I really want to thank you so much for giving me a little insight into playing in the minor leagues and your career and growing up an Orioles fan in the area. I would love to give you a spot here for your plugs if you want to plug anything, social media, where people can find you, and all that good stuff.
I mean, I have a Twitter and Instagram, but I'm pretty low-key on those, so. You can follow me, but I won't be giving too many shout-outs or tweets.
All right. Help us out. Where can we follow Jeff Kemp?
JKemp02.
All right. Everybody, follow him there. Okay. Jeff, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. I want to give a small shout-out to our mutual acquaintance, Joshua Kuznick, who helped put this together as well. But stay healthy, and I really look forward to watching you in Bowie this year.
Sounds good, Ryan. Yeah, definitely let me know when you come into town.
I'll stop
by and say what's up.
Absolutely. I'm there all the time, so I'll definitely make sure to do that. Thank you so much for joining me, and like I said, good luck, and hit them hard this year.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ryan. I had a blast.
And that was episode 56 with my special guest, Baltimore Orioles prospect and infielder Jeff Kemp. I want to thank him very much for joining me and giving us a little bit of an insight into a minor league player's life, both in season and out of season. I think sometimes, certainly I forget how tough what they're doing is and when they're chasing their dream. And it's certainly not a straight shot to the major leagues. A lot of guys are grinding really hard. And as you heard, I'm really hopeful that Jeff reaches the major leagues, and I'm excited to see him in Bowie this year. On a side note, he's quite a prospect, so check him out. He can definitely pick it and hit a little bit. So thank you again to Jeff. We are done for this week and episode 56. Thank you for downloading. Please rate and review us on iTunes and spread the word for us. Bye for now.